Welcome to the Athlete Plus Network. It's the official podcast network of the Institute of Coaching Excellence, a research and education outreach center in the College of Health and Human Performance at the University of Florida. I'm Kevin Carr, CEO of Protocio, an industry professor at UF, and I teach in sports business management. And I serve as the host of The Hit Show, which means How I Transition. This podcast is devoted to talking to current and former athletes on and off the court about business, about their life and their transition, and also the unique people who are around them and what they do to support elite athletes, coaches, teams, organizations, and their transition stories to educate all listeners and advance the profession of coaching and supporting athletes. Today is going to be an amazing show because we have former collegiate athlete and major leaguer and who has made an amazing transition post-baseball, Mr. Matt LaPorta, who's coming to us from Tampa, Florida. But before we jump into the show, we got to give him his props and tell a little bit about his background. Matt LaPorta is a former baseball player who played at the University of Florida, of course. But before that, he was born in Port Charlotte. He attended Charlotte High School, and he went on to play some football. Yes, he has a little bit of background there. He also, when he finished and finally accepted to go into the draft, he has a neat story about how many times he was drafted. He ended up being drafted by the Chicago Cubs, played for a number of years, and since then has transitioned successfully, and he is really, really tearing it up in the space of his transition of creating his own investment firm. So we are delighted and happy to have on The Hit Show, Mr. Matt LaPorta. Welcome to The Hit Show, Matt.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're quite welcome. Hey, it's been a while since we last caught up, several years. We've had a lot of transition going on in life and everything. I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. So catch us up, Matt. You know, you've had some major transitions going on. Let us know how you've been doing, man.
Yeah, great question. You know, I've been out of the game for several years. And I think with it seems like every turn of the road, there's a transition that, you know, I've been making as I've exited, you know, playing in sports and baseball. And so it has its ups and downs and its challenges. I think that's part of life, right? I think everybody has ups and downs and challenges. And, you know, I just was fortunate to get to play baseball and come out and have some time to figure out the direction that I wanted to go.
Awesome. Before we go forward, take us back a little bit. You played a high school ball, fairly elite in a sense of you got several opportunities to play. Talk to us about the hard work that you put in early and then when you had chances to be drafted. You know, why did you kind of make that final leap at that certain time? Because I think a lot of times athletes, am I ready? What was your process leading up to getting to be elite? And then when you had to finally make the decision, what made you ready to do it and make that transition then?
Yeah, I think first off, you're never quite ready because you don't necessarily know what's on the other side of that door, right? You know you're talented and you're good and you've excelled and you've worked hard, but at the same time, you still don't know what's on the other side. You don't know how much better those guys are than you, right? So I think that's something that's always kind of in the back of your head, which probably forces you to keep working harder, right? And never feel like you've made it. It for me, just again, back as a, you know, at a young age, just my father instilled hard work in me. And said that, hey, if you don't work hard, you might have all the talent in the world, but if you're not working hard, somebody's going to outwork you. And for me, I didn't want to ever let that happen. And so I just kind of pursued excellence at everything I did in baseball.
That's great. When you look back at your mindset regarding, you know, your transition, what kind of shifts or developments occurred in your life to finally take that leap and turn pro? When did you know you were ready?
Well, I got drafted as a senior in high school and turned that down. And one of the main reasons, which was tough because the Cubs drafted me and they were my favorite team growing up. But my high school baseball coach, who was actually left to start the baseball program at Florida Gulf Coast, Dave Tillett, we had a conversation after I got drafted, and I think I was a 14th rounder by the Cubs that year in 03. And he just, you know, he's basically said, if you can't get better in college and improve your draft status, like, you were never going to make it to the big leagues anyway. And it just resonated with me because I was like, man, he's right. If I can't go to an SEC school and play Division I baseball and get better, I probably was not going to make it. And so that's kind of one of the reasons that I opted to go to college and do that.
Did you like your college experience, or did you love your college experience?
And oh, man, I love my college experience, right? We were fortunate. I mean, our baseball team, we went to the College World Series in 05. I mean, I led the country in home runs in 05, SEC Player of the Year, first team All-American, played for the USA Collegiate Baseball team with some of the guys like Max Scherzer, David Price, John Jay, Ian Kennedy, Chris Perez, you know, JP Arencibia. These guys are all guys that played in the big leagues and had great big league careers. And then beyond that, right, like, we had our basketball team was unreal. I mean, we had Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer. You know, we win two national championships in basketball. And then our football team was incredible. We win two national championships. Yeah. And, you know, the guys like Tim Tebow, Tate Casey, Brandon Seiler, all these guys, and, you know, all friends. And so getting to come up in that era was pretty incredible. I mean, Billy Horschel, who's a good friend of mine, you know, plays on the PGA Tour, you know, won the FedEx Cup. Like, these guys were all the guys that were at UF at that time. And then, I mean, you think about the Aaron Andrews of the world or Laura Rutledge of the world. You know, we just had so many people around that time that were just incredible. And so I love my experience. It's probably an outlier experience for a lot of, you know, collegiate athletes and people in college. But I was very grateful and fortunate to be there at that time.
Yeah, man. I could see the smile on your face. Like, it was just really a special time. So I definitely appreciate the perspective. You know, your time, as you reflect, you know, your college experience was great. Not everyone's, you know, has that same thing. In your opinion, you know, what unique challenges do baseball players face as they transition into college, through college, and if they have the chance to go pro? What are they dealing with? Take us into that space where you're super young, you make it to college, or you get a little bit of college and you decide to go pro and you're super young in the major leagues. What are they dealing with compared to other sports and such, like the NBA, NFL? What's different?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I shared all the fun stuff with you and all the reasons why college was amazing. But I'll kind of share my freshman year with you. And I came in as a freshman, you know, told and thinking that I was going to start. I was a catcher, you know, kind of thinking I was the man. And all that may have been true, but when I got to college, I actually didn't end up starting as a freshman. I mean, that wrecked my world. It was really a really challenging and dark time for me. You go from thinking you're on top of the mountain to, no, you're not even good enough to play in college. And so for me, I thought that I was a failure. I thought I'd let everybody down, my friends, my family, people that invested into me, time, energy, effort, money, whatever it was, really, it just felt like a failure. I mean, there was times where I remember I put tinfoil on my windows in my dorm room so I could black it out so I could sleep all day. And there would be days on end where I would sleep, you know, I'd eat at the training table and go to bed at 9 o'clock, lay in bed until practice at 2 o'clock, grab a bar and go to practice. And it was a challenging time. I mean, it was a time where I wanted to quit. I wanted to run away from the challenge. I wanted to drive as far away as I could. You know, I was fortunate that my wife, at the time we were friends, you know, we would talk through different devotionals and different motivational books. It's funny. She recently gave me, for an anniversary, one of the motivational books that I gave her that we would go through. And so, I mean, those were the things that really kept me anchored, you know, in my faith. Because if not, I think life could have been vastly different. And so I think that I'm not the only freshman that's ever struggled with that, right? I think that transition from high school to college is challenging. I think you kind of get, you know, it's like the Mike Tyson saying, everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the mouth. And that's the first time that I got hit in the mouth, and it crushed me, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that think that they're really good ball players or really good athletes that go in to college and thinking they're going to be starting right away and somebody else out there that's better. And so you have to figure out and how to deal with that adversity. And the challenge now that we face, I think, as athletes is in some ways, it's just my opinion that it's easier now because you have this transfer portal that you don't have to deal with the challenge. I could run away. Right, wrong, and different. I think that a lot of these kids, and I'm not necessarily blaming them, but it's an out for them. I didn't get the starting spot at UF. Well, I'll transfer to an ACC school. I'll go play there. And I agree that you need to play. But also, there's a piece in you that if you push through and fight at the school that you're at, you dig deep. I think there's great rewards on that. Not only in sports, but in life in general. Because when life gets tough, because it will. Life will beat you up. Life will suck at times. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out, how can I draw on past experiences and dig deep to get out of that hole or that hell that I'm in right now? Mm. And so I think athletes miss that piece nowadays with this transfer portal. But I know it's a tough transition for a lot of athletes.
Yeah, man, you brought up a ton of stuff. I mean, right now we're in the age of NIL. What's your perspective of NIL as it is impacting collegiate sports? You played in a different era and you didn't have this opportunity. You think it's good? And from your perspective, how do the student athletes, in your opinion, navigate the hard part, get to the part potentially that they still, not just for money, but they can go to the next level, even though they still have this? Because just these resources now kind of change. Maybe potentially people are saying their effort and their commitment, because they can get it here and they may not want to work as hard to get to the next level. Do you think those types of things are happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know it's a topic of controversy right now. I believe that the athletes should be compensated. I believe that the manner, though, that we're doing it in today's world is not the right way. Mm-hmm. I think that there needs to be more governance around it. And right now, there's no governance. Mm-hmm. It's a free-for-all. It's a wild, wild west, in my opinion. It's free agency for athletes. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting my free agency at 18 years old. I go have a great year at one school. Maybe it's an ACC school. You know, I'm a stud there. SEC school comes calling, or whatever school, it doesn't matter. They come calling and go, hey, I got $300-400 million for you. You want to come? That might not necessarily be exactly how it works, but it's pretty close. And, you know, these athletes are leaving. So there's no loyalty anymore to the school. I just think the biggest thing is there needs to be governance around it. I'm not sure exactly what that looks like. You know, I can pontificate about, you know, all those reasons, but I think that there needs to be some more governance around how they approach NIL in the schools, because it becomes, you know, more of a professional sport right now. And then to touch on your point where, you know, the athletes are getting a lot of this money up front at 18, 19 years old. And I think that, yeah, I'm sure there's a large amount, though, that of athletes that get this $500,000, $1 million, whatever it may be, and take their foot off the gas. Hey, when you're not poor anymore, you're not as hungry. And that hunger is what drives you to have the success a lot of times, especially as a young athlete, until you start to develop those routines and those habits that make you an elite athlete. And so I think there are athletes that their skill level has fallen off, just don't have the drive anymore. And that's something that people are going to have to look intrinsically on. You know, what is my ultimate goal? My ultimate goal is to make it to the major leagues or the NFL. That's where you're going to make your money. I remember one of my agents, you know, we were talking about the draft and getting drafted. And, you know, obviously we want to maximize everything we can in the draft. But he basically said, like, this is great. This is a stepping stone, you know, making a few million dollars in the draft. But your real reward is going to come as a free agent. That's when you're going to make your $80, your $100, your $200 million. That's where the money's at. This is a building block for you to continue to get better, to build the team around you, to have your nutritionist, your therapist, your everything, to build a team around you to get to the next level, to be elite. And so I think some athletes might, if they don't have somebody telling them, hey, man, take this money, become even better, they're going to spend it. They're going to buy mom a house. They're going to buy dad a car. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And then,
is that wrong, Matt? Or should they, or should they not at this point? You know, you may not get it ever again. You get injured. What's the breaking point? Be patient, young man or young woman. It's coming. or should they go for it now? Because I did see something recently that an athlete bought their mom a house, and I think that's quite amazing. And it's not a bad idea to be an owner of something, of course. So what do they do? Like, and you still have years left to play. Does that hurt you?
I can't speak to every individual's situation. Yeah. I don't know where mom was living prior to him buying the house. I know from my experience, I made it to the big leagues and I bought my mom a house. And with that, there's a burden there, right? There's a burden there, no doubt. At least in my situation, there was a burden. There was an inner conflict, you know, that was going on. It was a nice gesture, but now you become like, maybe not every parent's like this, but this caregiver to that parent. Oh, you bought me the house. Well, something's wrong with the house. I need you to fix it. It becomes like this if you're not careful, right? You have to set strong boundaries. And as an 18-year-old kid, it's tough to do. As a 19-year-old kid, it's tough, right? Like I was 23 and it was still tough, you know? And so you set this boundary. And then frankly, like, again, I don't know each individual's situation. Everybody's different. And there's a lot of different circumstances. I'm speaking from my own circumstances is that it's not a bad thing to help people out when you've actually made it. You haven't made it if you've only made 500 grand or a million or 5 million. You haven't made it. That money needs to last you the rest of your life. If you don't make it to the NFL, NBA, MLB, whatever it may be. And so that's my biggest thing is that you need to take that money and forget about that you ever even got it.
That's hard to do, man. They're like, somebody's listening to this saying, are you kidding me, man? Listen to that. Or he's saying, forget about it when I have needs over here. Like,
And I'm not saying don't address the needs, but one of the things that I feel like I did and I could have done a better job of is, especially after my signing bonus, like, you know, I put the money away and instead of living like a millionaire, I should have just lived like a normal 22-year-old making 40-50 grand a year. That's all I'm saying. Learn to put those guidelines and those boundaries around yourself to allow you to have future success if you don't make it in your sport or there's an injury or who knows what happens, right? And you don't get another big contract. You know, I think we've had longevity as a family because of some of those boundaries that we put in place. So I'm not saying don't take care of your family. I'm in agreement with all that. But don't let it be a constant burden and handout that people are trying to get from you, because that's what happens. It's tough, man. I've had family come to me, ask me for money. Hey, you know, my business is failing, you know, tough economy. I just need 100 grand. Man, you're making 2 million. You're making 1 million. You're making 10 million. Come on, 100 grand. That's fine. That's one guy. What happens if there's five of them, right? And it all stacks up and you can't say no. And it's tough because this is family and you don't give them the money. And then they go crazy on you. Oh man, I can't believe you do that. I was there for you. I was there for you. And it's like, well, you're there for me. Buying me a Happy Meal at McDonald's is a lot different than me giving you 50 grand. So again, I don't envy the position that a lot of these kids are in. There's a lot of people out there, in my opinion, that are sharks and snakes that just look to take advantage of the opportunity and make money off the kids.
Right.
Right. I mean, and I'm not saying that there's some great people too, and good people out there as well. I just think it's a challenging time for the athletes, for the families of the athletes, for the schools. It's not a position that I would want to be in right now.
What do you think needs to be in place, in your opinion, curriculum wise or programming wise at the collegiate level? And to be quite honest, I've been in player development and athlete development, college and pro. I've preached what you've been saying. But, you know, if you've gone through on the playing side, I've been on more the programming and development side. What do you think, from your perspective, we're lacking to help all collegiate student athletes go through successfully? And if they do make it, what do they need to develop on the development side, particularly in baseball? Because I've noticed, in my professional opinion, it's not as, like, at least it's not publicized as much what development happens for the players compared to other major league sports. I'm curious what you think should be happening at the college and then at that pro, and that kind of niche in that question. I wanted you to get your opinion because you're a major leaguer.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that, you know, Major League Baseball, you know, they bring in like the top 100 prospects and do like this rookie symposium, they call it. It just kind of go through, hey, don't gamble, watch who you're hanging out with. Talk about different investments. I think that again, it's tough, right? Like most families, my family grew up, like my mom was a teacher, my dad worked for the county. You know, it was go to college, get a good job that has a 401k and health insurance, right? So a lot of families just don't understand, you know, finance or the world of work that's out there, right? Sometimes we get siloed and we don't see anything else that's going on out there. I would love to see either in college or in pros, almost each college develop kind of like this, in each sport, maybe like a board of directors, 7, 8, 9 people, that these athletes, you know, if it's baseball, hey, all the juniors and seniors or anybody who wants, these board of directors are going to put a symposium on one time a year. Come talk to him. Let's hear from the guy that's got a construction company that does $500 million in revenue a year. Let's hear from the private equity guy. Like, how do you get into that? Let's hear from venture capital. Why venture, right? Let's hear from the physician or somebody in sports. Let's hear from these people that are maybe once in your shoes, right, that have all this valuable knowledge. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. I didn't know. You know, I had no idea when I got out of baseball. I didn't know what I was going to do. It took time. Mm-hmm. And so I think I could have expedited that if there was people that were in my life on a consistent basis that were educating me. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I wish somebody pulled me aside when I was playing and said, hey, why don't you, while you're playing baseball, that's great. Why don't you go get in the offseason, go get an internship on Wall Street, go work at a hedge fund. Go work at a big private equity group. Go work at an investment bank. Learn how business is done through spreadsheets, through modeling, through financial outlooks, right? Learn that piece of it. You might not like it, but just learn it. It's a good base to have. I just think that as athletes, we're so focused on that sport, which is right, but we're not exposed to a lot of the other things that are out there. And we look at them as more of, it's more fear, right? We look at, that's private equity. You know, I was told not to, you know, just invest money. Well, there's different in investing money with my cousin Johnny, start whatever idea he wants to start versus an established private equity group that's going to return 2.5, 3.5, 5 times your money, right? There's a big difference in stuff like that.
Be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, we've done research here in the sports business program. And it's through the efforts at UF, we put together a what we call the top 20 transitions in baseball. And it is comprised of these people that you would say make up a board. And what we found was that there was a high quotient of former major leaguers who went into tech and became VCs and really used their opportunity to baseball to leverage to go into lots of different industries. And would you care to know who was number one? Just point of trivia here.
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Number one.
Number one was your good friend A-Rod, who has amassed a pretty big fortune, obviously in multiple ventures, but it really speaks to what you're saying. Like, could there be a way that some of these guys who've gone on and done well, could they come back in a way that would be huge to really say, hey, life after baseball, I've made more doing this than actually playing baseball. Whereas in comparison, you know, in the lifetime that I got left to do this, I think I can make even more of my post-career for the next 20, 30, 40 years, if I'm living that long. So it's important at UF here that we really use the platform to help bring to light what you're just saying about helping this generation see that these top 20 are just examples of fields that you can go in, and these guys actually did it and they made it, sort of like what you're doing for yourself now. You're starting to venture in new things. So let's talk about one thing I want to know is, you know, when you do or you have made transitions, you're kind of hitting in the space of, you know, what role has sort of mentoring people or shadowing people played in your journey, both as a player and now in your transition in life after basketball?
Yeah. You know, I think mentors are huge. And I think as an athlete, you have an opportunity to be mentored by some of the most successful people in the country. And so that's something that I wish I did even a better job at taking advantage of, right? And I always tell people, like, build your Rolodex, right? Build the Rolodex of people you know in different industries that you can call on. And build a genuine relationship with them. Don't just use them, right? Because you may need them and they may need you in the future. But if you don't know who they are, there's no connection there. And so I would say as a young athlete, like, try to find and build those relationships with people and those mentors and learn from them. What did they do? Why did they do this industry? How did you get into it? What did it take? I think those are all valuable insights. I mean, one of the things that I tried to do when I was traveling is, you know, again, didn't do it as well as I'd like to, but every city I went into, I tried to figure out who's the CEO that I could go talk to. Mm-hmm. And they're going to take my call. They're going to take a cup of coffee, you know, and then from there, it's up to me, like, how do I foster that relationship? And so that's something that I think young athletes should consider doing.
Do you think they all have to be in baseball, or should they be outside of baseball, or, you know, where should they start, like, their mentoring, the mentors, where should they come from, business and industries?
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah, all over.
Okay.
Yeah, business and industries, yeah. It doesn't have to be sports. It could be in anything.
Okay.
Just find somebody that's excelling at a high level, just like you're excelling at a high level in your sport, and pick their brain, right? Like, learn from them. Mm-hmm. Because at some point you're going to be done playing, whether, again, you played to your 39, 40, like A-Rod and Jeter, or, you know, or you're done at 26, right? Like, there's another career, another transition. There might even be two careers afterwards. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And then as far as mentoring people, you know, for me, I find it a great honor to help guys out and girls out, like, with their transition, you know, what it looks like, the challenges, the ups and downs, you know, the experiences that I've had. You know, I get a lot of purpose out of that, trying to help people, because I know the difficulty that they're getting ready to face.
Well, let me ask you this, man. Let me ask you this, because this might help you in reflecting, because it seems like you're reflecting on your experiences. You know, what lessons have you sort of learned about your way forward? And now you're on this other side, that you learned about resiliency and adaptability and personal growth, that, you know, you can share with aspiring athletes or just people who need something to help them break free or break through and get to those next levels.
Yeah. So one of the things, and I shared it earlier, is that especially now, all these guys are not all these guys. A lot of people in sports and collegiate sports are starting to make money, especially the ones that are making big money. My suggestion is try to put that money aside and forget about it and pretend like you're still an 18-year-old poor kid. I mean, and I say that because I think for me, that helped me out where, you know, I was able to save and have some little investments here and there that enabled me to have the flexibility and freedom to kind of search and find what it is that I wanted to do, right? Rather than, all right, my career is over. I don't have any money. I don't have any income. What am I going to do? And you jump at the first opportunity that's out there. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, right? Sometimes we can get caught up to, I think, in, well, I'm too good at, I'm good at a lot of these things. Which one am I going to choose? And you don't pick one or the other. So I think that, that's one piece of it. Just trying to insulate yourself from having to make rash decisions.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's definitely a piece of it. And then, you know, from there, I remember growing up, people would always be like, well, what's your plan B? What's your plan B? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's no plan B. Plan A is plan B. I'm getting to the big leagues. And I think there's a lot of merit to that. And I think there's this piece in there that is, I've burned all the ships. But I would say, looking back, that I think and I believe that you can have a plan A1 and a plan A2, right? Mm-hmm. Plan A2 could have been me getting into finance, you know, getting right out of school, getting into investment banking, or going to work at a hedge fund, right? If baseball didn't work out, it's like, all right, cool. I already know where the path that I'm going to go. I don't have to necessarily figure anything out. I've kind of been doing that. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with it, especially now. And people can say, well, you know, it's burn the boats. It's go, you know, all or nothing. And I get that. But then if that's the case, get off TikTok, get off Instagram, and stop making money through NIL. Because your attention is already split or diverted, right? I mean, you can't tell me that you're not spending a large amount of time on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, whatever it is, making your NIL money. So that's plan A and plan A1, right? You're doing them both. Mm-hmm. And so that's all I would say. And I think people are doing that, right? And it's proven that, oh, I can still be a stud athlete and have another job, essentially, because that's what it is, right? Running your NIL or Instagram and all this stuff, it's a second job, right? I mean, it's not easy. You know, it takes a lot of thought, a lot of time, a lot of energy to do those things. And so all I'm saying, I think that if folks would look at it like, this isn't my only shot, I can do these other things too, and just bear down and focus too on both of them, I think they could. I think it's a better path than the one that I took, which was just focus on baseball. They still worked out, but you know.
Absolutely. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention your family and you know, even, you know, we know each other through a couple of things, obviously living here in Tampa and, you know, church and things of that nature. Talk a little bit about what it's meant, you know, to be probably one of the most important roles, a husband, a dad, a son, and someone who I think, you know, is really a man of faith. And how all that plays a part in your transition in your life now?
Oh, man, that's a heavy question. I think it's, you know, it all has its challenges, right? Life is, like I said earlier, life is not without its challenges. You know, my wife and I have been married for a while now. And, you know, we have to, me and her have to have great communication in order for our family flow to stay good, right? Because if we have a lack of communication, things start getting out of whack. And I would say that's the best advice for, you know, for young married couples, even though there's probably not too many listening, I don't know, is communication, right? And anything, right? Business, right? You and your partner, you have to communicate. You have to constantly be on the same page. And so I would say that, and then, you know, especially with four kids running around with different sports, you know, we have to be on the same wavelength. And we try to bring our kids into a lot of the decisions that we make as a family. Kids, where do you want to go travel this year? We have choices. Do you want to go do this or do you want to go do this? Right. Versus mom and dad just picking. Hey kids, like, dad's making a transition into, you know, this new venture, we need to pray about it, mm-hmm. right? It might look different. This next year or two might look different than it's looked in the last 10. So we try to bring the kids into that. And then from you know, the parent's role, I've been in a unique position, and I don't necessarily, you know, wish it on anybody. But my mom has had struggled with health issues and stuff. And so I've kind of become more like the parent in that relationship, which is challenging, right? It's challenging because we do have the four kids and we are busy, and, you know, you have somebody that needs you more than you would like at times, mm-hmm. just because there's only 24 hours in a day. I mean, I can't create more hours. I know there's some people out there on the internet that think that they can create more hours by getting up at 2 a.m. I don't think that you can't do it. So, it creates challenges there. But you know, it's something that, you know, my wife and I and the family, we just keep working through and communicating. But you know, my dad is great. My in-laws, I have great in-laws. Like we, you know, we have a good support system. Even my mom is supportive in times, right? But yeah, and that's kind of what I go back when I was sharing a little bit about, you know, these young kids buying mom a house, buying mom a car. You know, you get $500,000 in NIL money and you buy a $250,000 house, that's gone. And then you pay taxes on that money at probably, you know, 20%. That's $100,000. So you're left with $150,000. It's not a lot of money. Mm-mm. It doesn't last long. Mm-mm. You know, it puts the child in a unique position. And I've been in that position, you know, since I was 22 years old. And it's tough at times.
Right. Wow. Man, you said a lot here. I'm going to lighten it up a little bit. We're going to go into a fun spot and we're going to transition on out here. Hey, we're in a speed round, Matt. You know, you're familiar with this. I love to ask these one-liners. If you can give the shortest possible answer you possibly can, one word or as close to one word as you can. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite baseball memory from your playing days?
Probably my home run against. I mean, if it's one word.
Home run. The home run, hitting homers, right?
Yeah, hitting homers.
Yeah. If you could have dinner with any baseball legend, past or present, who would it be?
Babe Ruth.
Okay, good. What's your go-to pre-game ritual or superstition, if you believe in that?
In college, I would eat a banana.
Okay. All right. Which ballpark did you enjoy playing the most and why?
Fenway Park, the fans.
At a cookout, what are your go-to foods that you enjoy the most?
Ribs, mac and cheese, coleslaw.
You're making me hungry, man. Stop.
Yeah.
What's the best, I would say, advice you've received either on and off the field?
Man.
Or one of them.
Yeah. Believe it in yourself.
Mm-hmm. I love that. If you weren't involved in baseball, what career path do you think you would have pursued?
Something in finance.
Okay, well, good. Well, listen, I'm close to the end here. Looking at where you are this far and sort of trying to put it all together, you know, what do you hope to leave a legacy behind in terms of what you're going to do in the future? Where do you hope to leave a, what do you hope to leave a legacy behind in?
Kevin, that's a great question. You know, that's one of my topics this year that I'm really trying to figure out. What is my why and my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think it ties into that legacy piece.
Okay. Well, great. I mean, and that's a question for me all the time. It shifts. Earlier in life, I wanted this. Now, later in life, I'm looking at this is more important. I think we all go back and forth on that. As we wrap up, is there anything else that we can do to support you, to consume you, to follow you? Can you leave us a way to still keep up with you and your opportunities and ventures and, you know, you as an amazing dad and citizen here in the state of Florida and beyond? How can we support you, Matt?
Oh, man, thank you. You know, I think the best is for me is if somebody, you know, somebody takes something away from this talk, right? Like I don't, you know, maybe thoughts and well wishes on, you know, anything that we do as a family. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Do you have a handle we could follow you on the gram or LinkedIn or anything like that as well so we can keep up with all great things that are about to happen in the future?
Yeah. So you can follow me on LinkedIn. It's just my name, Matt LaPorta, and then Instagram. I think it's the Matt LaPorta.
Okay. Excellent. So we're going to get this out and make sure that we get it to you and you can put this great story about your multiple transitions. This is what I love about the show. So as we close, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Matt LaPorta, for being on the hit show today. And the University of Florida, your alma mater, as a greater Gator great, thanks you, all right? We'd love to make sure we stay in touch with you and build on this. We want to have you back in the future and update us on all the great investment opportunities you're going to be continuing to pursue. The hit show should be saved on everybody's podcast list because you learn things about some of the most hidden facts and undervalued skills that I think that people do. And it's the skill of transition. It's something that we all do from sports to business and beyond. So in closing, again, I want to thank the University of Florida and the athlete network here for allowing us to be able to have this podcast. And as a member of the Sports Business Management Program and the College of Health and Human Performance at UF, we thank our listeners. Please download this. Please share it with others. Please like it and continue to follow this. We continue to try to bring you unique transition stories of amazing people like Matt, who have been part of the Gator family and now have gone on to do great things, but also other people. And if you know an athlete or if you know of an individual who can benefit from this, please share it with them. The Hit Show does not end without our guests giving the signature outro. Take it away, Matt.
I'm Matt LaPorta, and you've just listened to me on the Hit Show.
That's amazing. Again, I'm Kevin Carr, and you've listened to multiple transitions. I want you to keep listening. So myself, on behalf of the University of Florida and the College of Health and Human Performance, we thank you, and we're out.